You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Happy Friday to you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Here again behind their microphones here, recording this in our ongoing series here through the book of Revelation. It's high time once again that we get into Bible prophecy here, get into book of Revelation, and we're in the middle of this, well, we're wrapping up this second church. The Lord's dictated seven letters to give to the pastors or messengers, Greek word angelos, of the seven churches. Some translations, I guess most say angel. I think that's an unfortunate translation. I think it should be messenger or pastor. I don't believe the Lord's dictating a letter to have John give it to someone that he cannot see, an angel. So that's where we're going to be. If you guys have the opportunity to grab your Bibles, we will pick it up here. And from the top of this second church, Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, prior to that, I invite you guys to church this weekend. You are invited to attend one of our services. We are at 1000 North Bonetta River Drive, Merritt Island. It's Island Community Church. Our service starts around 10:35 on Sunday morning. I will be in Hebrews chapter 11, God's Hall of Faith. That's where we're going to be. Famous chapter. Probably the most famous chapter on faith in all of the Bible. And that's where we're going to be here this weekend. Services are Sunday morning at 10:30, Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock, and I will be in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. More on that, though, as we draw near Wednesday. Now we're about to draw near to Sunday, and if you guys are new to the area, or if for whatever reason you're looking for a new church, why don't you come by, bring your Bibles with you, and we're going to have a high time here. The Lord's always moving. His word's exciting. If you guys tune into this program, you know what to expect. I personally invite you to attend this Sunday. We'd love to see you. Okay. The first church was the church at Ephesus. If you have a New King James Bible, it is known as the Loveless Church, the church that they left their first love. Here today is this church has gone down in history as the persecuted church. The last program up here I've entitled Polycarp. Now, all of these are available as podcasts, so I encourage you either go to the WMIEFM.com website, look for podcasts or for on demand, and you'll find it there. Or if you have an iPhone, there's an app on your phone that's called Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe to this. All these programs will appear right there. Or you can go to the church Facebook page, Island Community Church. You'll see them uploaded on there. We left off looking at Polycarp. Polycarp was a famous saint, famous for his stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, famous for how he died, famous for what he refused to do. And that is the people that lived in Smyrna every year had to burn incense and they had to swear that Caesar was Lord. In Greek, it was Kaiseros Kurios, which meant exactly that. Caesar is Lord. And if you did not swear to that, because this was the problem here at Smyrna, emperor worship. They worshiped, they bowed the knee and worshiped the emperor, and they called him Lord. Now, as you could imagine, this was a pretty big problem for the Christians dwelling at Smyrna. And that is why 2,000 years later, this church has gone down in history as the persecuted church. Now let's pick it up here in verse 8. Now to the angel, or to the messenger, or to the pastor of the church at Smyrna, right? These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, your tribulation, and your poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. All right, so first things off the bat. First he says, I know your works. So let me ask you the question here on this Friday. Does he know yours? Is that good news? Or is it bad news that he knows your works? Because he does know your works. We're going to give an account of him for our works. Remember, we must all appear at 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one will give an account for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. We're going to give an account for what we've done. Now, he says here to this church, he says, I know your works. So what will the Lord say when he examines you and looks at your life? What will he say when he says to you, I know your works? We read the parable in Matthew chapter 25, how three people are all given a certain talent. Do with that as you will. Talent was a unit of measure, 75 pounds, be it silver or gold. A talent could be something else as well. The question is, what are you doing with the talents? To the one he gave five, to another two, and to another one. The one who had five gained five. The one who had two gained two. And they were both commended the same for what they did. But the one who had the one, the Bible said, he went and he dug into the ground and he hid his Lord's money. What are you doing with the talents, with God's stuff, because he owns it all. He owns everything, not just the cattle on a thousand hills. He said to Job, everything under heaven belongs to me. God owns everything. What is he going to say to you when he says that, I know your works? Secondly, he says, I know your tribulation. The Bible shows us that all Christians are confronted with tribulation. The Lord Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Now, some have it worse than others. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, it says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. However, we all, so sometime or another, have to endure tribulation. Also, we read, the Lord Jesus said, he'll keep us out of the hour of trial that's going to come upon the world. But the wrath of Satan, you and I will always be subject to that out here in this world. We're always fighting that, the wrath of Satan. So, okay. Third thing he says is, I know your poverty. You know, sometimes you think that you're poor, but you're actually rich. Now, the Lord said to the seventh church, this Laodicea, they had the opposite problem. They thought they were rich, and the Lord tells them that actually they're poor, and he said that they were wretched and poor and miserable and blind, and the worst thing of all, he said that they were naked, because there was no more embarrassment than that in the old days to be found naked. Once again, verse 9, I know your works, your tribulation, and your poverty, though you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. What a statement. The Lord Jesus called Satan their father. That's in John 8:44. He said, you are of your father, the devil. And what a gut punch, or a punch in the stomach this is. So apparently you are not a Jew just because your mother or your father were Jewish. That's not the way the Lord Jesus Christ reckons things right here. I mean, how can he say that? Those that are say they are Jews and are not, hey, either you're Jewish or not, right? No, that's not the case. I mean, think about it. I mean, that's like the Lord saying to me, You say that you're Italian, but you're not. I'd have to say, but I am Italian. You're wrong. I am Italian. I'm Italian. How can you say I'm not? The Jew naturally would have the same argument, but you see, this is not the case. The Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul spiritualize this. They spiritualize what it means to be considered a Jew. A Jew is a true son, spiritual son of Abraham. Listen to this verse. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. The Apostle Paul says, he is not a Jew who was one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Now, according to the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul, this is what a true Jew is. Now, these people here, these Jews here in Smyrna, they're deceived. They think that something, that is trying to exterminate Christians, is something, the right thing to do. While something, trying to exterminate Christians, is actually something else, and that would be the devil's handiwork. You see, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, so that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, for those of you that find yourself in the persecuted church, the devil is about to put some of you into prison so that you may be tested. Now, that was spoken to them, but we still can glean some truth out of this. For instance, Satan still tests people today. God allows that. He allows the devil to test people, not for his sake, but for yours and for mine, to see where we stand, to see what we would do today when we're undergoing trial or testing. This stuff happens to us today. For instance, the government forcing you to have an identifying card in order to buy or sell. That was a test that just came upon us with COVID within these last couple of years. What do you do when the government forces you? Now, if you guys remember, I mean, you couldn't go into a supermarket without this stuff. You couldn't go somewhere without a mask on. Many groups, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't play sports. You couldn't serve in the military. There's lots of things you couldn't do. Lots of places you couldn't work. So in a roundabout way, this was a test. When the government forces you to receive some kind of mark, no matter if it's on a card or if it's on your right hand or if it's on your forehead, the time has come where the government has forced you to take some kind of mark in order to buy and in order to sell out here. What do you do? So we're still, granted, this letter was written to Smyrna 2,000 years ago, but there's plenty for us to glean here. So as the Lord said, so that you may be tested, let me ask the question, tested by whom? God or Satan? The answer to that is Satan. Because that's what he does. Look, this is what he thinks of you. Look at what he did to Peter. Once Peter's sin of pride opened the door for the devil to come into his life, look at what we read here in the Bible, Luke chapter 22, verse 31. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. So let me think, I mean, what does the devil know that you and I don't? What do you mean Satan has demanded? Who in blazes is the devil that he can demand anything from God or the Son of God? But look, something's happened here. There's more to this than meets the eye, you see. Once this sin of pride enters in and we start acting and operating in pride, look at what the devil is allowed to say here. Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. The Lord Jesus continues, but I have prayed for you so that your faith may not fail. And you, once you have turned again, or once you have returned, strengthen your brothers. Again, that's Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And he will test you as well. When you exhibit this kind of pride, when you say, not me, I could never do this, reminds me of when the Lord Jesus said, he said, truly, this night, one of you is going to betray me. And they all, except one of them, said, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Even Judas asked the question, is it I? Everyone except the one person who did, and that was Peter. He was the only one that didn't say that. Peter said, I don't care if all of these other people betray you. I would never do that. You see, once you respond like that, that you could never sin like this and fall short, that opens up the door for the devil to make a comment concerning you, just like he did concerning Peter. And that is, whoa, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Listen to what Satan told God about Job. We read in Job chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man has he will give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. See, Satan thinks, friend, that you personally will do anything out here to save your own hide. And God allows the devil to see what you're made of, really to show you what you are made of. So I ask the question, is he right about you? Will you do anything to save your own hide? Or is the devil wrong about you? You were just tested recently. How did you do on the test? How did you do? Because remember, this Antichrist, this satanic trinity, this unholy evil trinity at the end of the age, remember, this is a government. This is a one world government that's going to force people to receive an identifying mark at the end of the age in order to buy or sell. Now, we just went through a dry run on that. I asked the question, how did you do on that? Now, there's nothing wrong with getting a vaccine if you got a vaccine for health reasons. So let's get that plain and clear here. If you receive the vaccine for health reasons, then you're fine. You're good to go. However, if you receive the vaccine because the government told you to do it, Lord wants you to see that. Hey, look, if he's got you once, if the government's got you once, you better watch out again. Next time this comes around, make sure you don't fall for this now of the government trying to force you in order to buy or sell, the government forcing you to receive a tattoo or a mark that you've complied with the government so that you can buy or sell. He's saying, better watch out. How did you do on that test? Let me ask you the question. How did you do on that test when the government forced you to do something in order to buy and in order to sell? How did you do on that test? Now, if you fail that test, it's okay. This is just a trial. We're practicing here. This is a practice run for those that are going to be around during the tribulation. If it's not you, then you've learned plenty that you can teach to your children and grandchildren. It's just that if you fail this, you pick yourself up. Remember, a righteous man will pick himself up 7 times. We read in the book of Proverbs, you dust yourself off. You say, you know, you got me once, but you're not going to get me again. That's how we respond. We learned from that, and we don't make that mistake again. Then lastly, he says, you know, also too, the Lord encourages the pastor here at Smyrna and all of us, he says, to be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. James talks about this crown as well. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those that love him. Verse 11, he that has ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Plural. See, it's not just Smyrna. This is for all the churches throughout all the church ages. This is the great awesomeness of this book of the seven, and the number seven is completion. It's perfection. It's not just Smyrna. He's writing to anywhere. He's writing to all of us. You could find yourself in a loveless church that's left their first love. You could find yourself in a persecuted church. Might not be so much here in the United States, but if you're going to church somewhere else, if you're listening to this from China, we have a lot of downloads from China. You guys there can nod your head in a way that we can't here in the United States. If you find your way in a you find yourself in a persecuted church, the Lord says, hang in there, be faithful. If have to be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life, he says. And he who's got an ear to hear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying unto the churches, plural. He that overcometh will not be hurt by the second death. All right, so what's the second death? That's what's next here in this letter. And how can there be more than one death? I mean, death is death, right? No. Let's turn real quick to Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 11, where it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Now he's going to tell you who will suffer this fate. Verse 15, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." All right, so the second death, the lake of fire, is reserved for all of those whose names are not written in the book of life. Everyone who has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, or I should say everyone who's went to their grave still rejecting him, or he came back before, whatever happens first, you dying or him coming back. Because remember, as we just read in Revelation 1:7, once you see him, then it's too late. Once you see Jesus, it's too late. You gotta believe and receive him today when you cannot see him. Blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. Once you see him, it's too late. Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, he's coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes or all the kindreds of the earth will wail because of him." Now, that's not going to be my response when Jesus comes back. How about you? We're back to this again, full center. What will be your response when Jesus Christ returns? Will you rejoice or will you wail? The Bible tells us prophetically, all the tribes, all the kindreds of the earth are going to wail when he comes back, because they're going to look up. He's going to crack the skies. They're going to look down. They're going to look on their right hand, and they're going to see, friend, that they obeyed the government and they did what the government told them to do in order to buy or sell. That's why we've had this trial run here coming up these last couple years. It's so that we'll learn, sock that one away, file that one away under, "You're not going to deceive me again, friend." File that one away. Do not be deceived. Now, so we see that the devil has deceived them and cast them into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So, do not be deceived. You will not reign in hell. Like that old happy, that little cutesy-wootsy little saying out here, "I'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven." You're not going to reign in hell. You will not wink out if you leave this world rejecting Jesus Christ. You will wake up. You will arrive. You will, your eyes will awaken again, and you will be in God's green room waiting for this great white throne judgment that we just looked at, where you'll be cast into hell for all eternity, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So that is the Lord Jesus' message to the pastor of the persecuted church. So let me say, Satan, my friend, Satan thinks that he has you pegged. He himself, again, is quoted as saying that all that a man has, he will give for his life. So let me ask you the question on this Friday, heading into the weekend. Is he right in your case? Or is he wrong? We're at a time, we'll be back again soon with another program here. We'll be looking at this next church, and that will be the compromising church, Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. You are listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.